Blog Talk Radio.
Establishing of the nation of Israel.
and the significance of the nation versus the kingdom. So I started working on a precept, the kingdom of Israel versus the nation of Israel, because there is a difference. And so, as you know, whenever I finish it, I will present it. But most I put it on my heart to look into that, the kingdom versus the nation. And it is different. And so, you know, we're going to look at these things. Maybe I'll do it this evening. Depends upon how far we get today. Maybe it's something I'll present this evening. We'll see. But it makes a difference as to, did the Most High reestablish Israel, or was this mankind that did it? Okay? And so we'll look at that at some point. I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be, in North America or South America, in the African continent or the European theater, the Middle East or Far East, any of the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. As I said, Tuesday night we will be celebrating the new moon service. And so I pray that you are able to attend. It is a time that I always look forward to, like the weekly Shabbat. And so we missed it for October. We do not want to miss it for November. Anything else this morning? Nothing that I can think of. So we want to go ahead and proceed. And let me have all the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads as we go forth this morning. I believe that, so let's do our statement of faith, and we'll pray, and then we'll go ahead and jump into this precept. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Holy hands, let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. We just give you glory, honor, and praise on this morning, and we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. We bow down and we worship you, Father. We give our adoration to you and to you alone, for only you and you alone are worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. Another will we not bow down to and give our adoration to, for you are our Elohim. And you are a jealous Elohim, Father, and we do not want to make you jealous. Hallelujah. We do not want to make you jealous. So we just want to show our love and appreciation for you and for you alone. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you on this morning. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here. See and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. And Father, we are turning from our wicked ways, and we are repenting from our sins, and we will not complain about the punishment that you'll place upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love for your love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call a Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and that they would obey your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this evening or on this morning, we ask that you would smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do. In your son, Hamish, express his name, I pray. Amen. And amen. Our scripture for today let's get John 14 and 15. The book of John chapter 14 and 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High bless you through the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. The blowing of the shofar.
Thank you.
even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So it's about keeping his commandments, about keeping the commandments of the Most High, keeping the commandments of Messiah. This is what we have to do, to abide in his love. And if we don't keep his commandments, then we don't abide in his love. We don't reside in his love. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, the book of Romans chapter 12. And we're going to be getting verses 1 through 3 or 4. Romans chapter 12. So we want to abide in his love. We want to continue in his love. And the only way that we can do that is to obey his commandments. If we continue to believe that we can do whatever we want to do, because he says, how do you say you love me and do not what I say to do? So how can you abide in his love and not do what he says to do? Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Elohim, which is your reasonable service. So it says, for you to present yourself as a living sacrifice is not an unreasonable request. It's not something that you should find hard to do if you have turned away from and died to sin. If you're still struggling with things, it's because that thing is still within you and you haven't died to it. And he says, if you don't give it up, you can't follow him. You can't be his disciple. You can't be like him, which is what we are to become. All believers are to become like him. And be not conformed to this world. Whatever the world is saying and whatever the world is doing, you can't say and do. Especially when it's contrary to the word of the Most High. It will cause you to have a double standard. It will cause you to have a double mind. A mind of the world and a mind that mixed with the mind of the Most High. That's double-minded. It says, and a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Not some of them, all of them. Because you don't know which way that person's going to go on any given topic, subject, matter. You don't know. Is it the mind of the Most High that they're going to see this through? Is it the mind of the world they're going to see it through? So it says, be not conformed to this world. Be in the world, but not of the world. That means that you live here, but you don't have the ways of the world, and you don't judge according to the ways of the world. And you don't live your life according to the ways of the world. That's why he says, come out of her. Come out the world. And Babylon represents the world, the world of government, confusion. So you come out of her. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. I used to think like this. Now I don't think that way anymore. I think like the Most High wants me to think. I put his laws, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances. They are my standards. They are the way that I judge things, that I rule my life. Because the world's standard is completely different. It is contrary. And you can't mix the two. A little bit of this and a little bit of that. It doesn't work. And that is exactly what the scripture calls being double-minded. Well, on this subject, I believe this way. And on that subject, I believe this way. On this subject, I believe what the Most High says. I believe what the Bible says. And on this subject, I believe what the world says. It's either one or the other. You got to either give him your whole heart or none of it. God serving which are all or none of you. That's the only way that you can not conform to this world. The only way that you can be transformed. That's the only way you can renew your mind is that you eat and believe the whole word of the Most High. And you believe it, even when you don't understand. You believe it until the Most High gives you clarity. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. So you offer yourself as a living sacrifice, renewing your mind to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. If you mix it with the world, you will not be able to do that. You will never come into the will of Elohim. And you will never be able to do it. And you will never be accepted. Because he tells us, I want your whole heart. You got to come to me with your whole heart. Anything else is going to cause failure. Anything else is going to cause confusion. Anything else, you will just be confused. That's the only way I can say it. You'll be double-minded. I don't know which way to go on this issue. The world says this, and the Bible says this. My heart says I'm kind of with the world, and I'm kind of with the Most High. He says, no, you got to be all for him. You got to present yourself as a living sacrifice to him, acceptable to him. And he says, that is our reasonable service. For I say through grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as Elohim has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The measure of faith. Now, he said, don't think to be holier than thou. If you're not holier than thou, but be renewing your mind by killing and dying to sin, by killing off those old natures that are in you that are contrary to him. Because when you do those things, then your measure of faith, everything that you kill off and become like him in, your measure of faith will increase. With every victory that you get, your measure of faith will increase. Defeat does not bring faith. Defeat does not bring belief. The victory does. And so with every victory that you get, as long as you're struggling with something, your faith will not increase. But when you die to it, oh, I'm no longer going to do that. That's dead to me. I'm dead to it. And you get the victory over it, your faith will increase. It's like positive reinforcement. If you find yourself failing all the time, that's not positive. It's negative. And so it will not build you up, but it will tear you down. And it will make you believe that you cannot be good enough. You cannot reach the goal that the Most High has set for you. Because he said, be thou perfect, for I am perfect. That's the goal. And the only way to do that is to not conform to this world and to serve him with your whole heart. Make him number one. Establish your life to be pleasing to him. Not to self. Not to anyone else. Because we spend too much time trying to please either ourselves or other people. But when we follow him, he says, you got to follow me with your whole heart. You got to commit 100%. You can't say you belong to me and then kind of be following me. I got to be the most important person in your life. The mission that I put you on has to be the most important mission that there is in your life. You can't have nobody else more important than me in your life. And so you have to renew your mind. You have to be reprogrammed. And people don't like that word, being programmed. But you've been programmed by the world to be a certain way, to think a certain way, to react a certain way, by your environment, by the government, by your teachers, by your parents. Now, the Most High says you got to be reprogrammed by Him through His Word and the keeping of His commandments, His statutes and His laws, His judgments. These are my standards. So don't be conformed to this world. If somebody's giving you advice that's worldly advice, then you got to look and see how it lines up with the Word of the Most High. Are they telling you to do something that is not godly? Let's keep it moving. So, renewing your mind. Drop down to verse 11. Well, let's just keep reading. We're going to get down to verse 11. So let's just keep reading. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, every organ in the body don't do the same thing. Your eyes don't breathe. Your ears don't see. I could say your feet don't smell, but that could be a play on words. But they don't perform the same function. Your eyeballs don't need calluses because you don't walk on them. So every member of the body don't have the same job, the same function. Now, there are many members, many cells that make up each organ, and everybody can be a like cell, to be a part of a particular organ. And that organ is going to need different things than a different organ. The heart needs something different than the feet need or the kidneys need. I hope that makes sense. That's why when ministering to the body, you have to figure out, and the person has to really know, where are they at? Where do they fit in the body? They're going to have different needs. It's not a cookie cutter, one thing fits all, except for to obey and love the Most High with your whole heart and love Him and Him alone, Him only, above everything. But then individual needs can be different because we don't all have the same office. We don't all perform the same job. We won't all have the exact same need. So we being many are one body in Mashiach, and every one members of one another. We all, every organ in the body depends on every other organ in the body for the function that it provides. The body can't get along without the heart. The heart can't get along without the kidney or the liver or the stomach or the pancreas, or the legs. I mean, you can get along without the legs, but it's designed to have those things. So everything in the body depends upon everything else in the body. And we are, as members of the body, are supposed to depend upon one another. Supposed to provide to one another what we have need of that we don't actually produce or make ourselves. It's not part of our function. The heart doesn't actually make blood. The bones do. And so the heart can't say it don't need the bones. And then you turn it around, the heart supplies the same blood to the bones and to those organs, muscles, and tendons and tissues that are around the bones, to allow them to function. Everything is interdependent upon everything. And that's the way we are supposed to operate as a body. That's why I say everyone that is truly in Messiah can't be prejudiced against each other. So how do I personally judge a church or an organization? It's whether they are truly in the body and that they understand that we are all one in Messiah. We just have different functions. But if we want to exclude somebody based upon their race or their gender, their ethnicity, if we are in Mashiach, then that tells me that you aren't truly in Mashiach. And you don't really truly have an understanding. So verse 5 again. So we being many are one body in Mashiach, and everyone members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let us be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Hate that which is evil. All of us should hate that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Hold on to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one with another. One to another, with brotherly love. Now this is where, how he wants us to treat each other. In honor, preferring one another. I should be looking out for your well-being and you should be looking out for mine. Not me looking out for myself and you looking out for yourself. If I place you above me and you place me above you, then we are both trying to fulfill the love of Elohim in a brotherly way. But we don't allow brotherly love to supersede the love of Elohim. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. Serving Yah. So when he says not slothful in business, our business is the kingdom of Yah. And everything we do with our life, if we've given over to him wholly, is to bring about and live in the kingdom. To manifest the kingdom in our lives. To seek out individuals who are doing the same thing. When we understand that it's all about the kingdom and establishing it in the earth and reflecting Messiah to the world. When they see you, they should see Messiah. They should see Elohim. And if they're not walking according to in truth, then you should be able to give them truth. And it's up to them to accept it or reject it. But our business is the kingdom. And we should not be slothful about it. And if we are in business in the world, then what we are making is not to be consumed upon ourselves. but it is for the kingdom of Elohim. If we have understanding. Because, see, we will start a business, we'll get a job, and, yeah, we need money to live. But the Most High says we put him first. All these other things he will add unto us. He'll make sure that you don't lack anything. If we put one another first, then what I have in abundance, I will provide to you in your lack. And what you have in abundance, you will provide to me in my lack. But we have gotten so caught up in the ways of the world that it's all about self. It's all about I. Me. Even this whole world system, every country is looking out for self. And every country has been given different resources for all of mankind, but they want to keep resources to self. And then what they lack in, they want to go take from whoever has it. Or they want to cheat them out of it. Let me get as much as I can for as cheap as I can, or as little as I can pay for it. And the Most High says, no, those scales need to be balanced. Your scales that you're dealing with need to be balanced. So it should be a win-win all the time for everybody. You get what you need, I get what I need. Even at the nation level. But that's not the way the world is operating. Because it has not come into the full understanding that we are all one. And this is where Messiah and the Most High want us to get to. Now, it will only truly happen upon his return. But he says, will I return and find faith in the world? Will I find you doing this, what I left you to do? So we don't have to conform to the world if we understand the mission that the Most High has given us. If we understand the sacrifice that we are supposed to be making. I pray somebody can hear this. Go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And let's start in verse 1. Let's read down through verse 14. Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now, the Most High, we are part of his kingdom. And we are to subject ourselves to him. If we are in other nations, we subject ourselves to the higher powers in those nations as long as they do not contradict or come in conflict with serving the Most High. Let me say that again. We are citizens of the kingdom of Elohim. And his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances are what are to rule our life. And the laws of men, the ordinances of men, are to be secondary. If we're in a land that we don't control, we're not to be lawbreakers, except for if their laws break the commandments of the Most High's laws. Then we don't keep those laws. We don't honor them. So we're to be subject to the higher powers, and that's in the government of the Most High, because the Most High has a government. The thing is we don't want to submit to the government of the Most High. And we don't want to put ourselves up under men that are in the government of the Most High. We want to have our own sovereignty. And we don't want to submit ourselves. And so we have all these different organizations. We have all these different camps, all these different churches. And some of the churches are organized that they have a government. But even within those, the vast majority of them do not want to submit to that authority. But if you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and the Most High says, I give you teachers, and I give you healers, and I give you all these different things, and I give you those for governance. Look in there. Governance, rulership, direction. Those are the higher powers. It's to establish and to maintain his kingdom in the earth. But everybody wants to do their own thing. And then people want to migrate. You know, what if one of your heart cells migrated to your brain and started beating in your brain, trying to perform the function of the heart in the brain? Then that cell would be considered to be cancerous. That ain't a brain cell. That's a heart cell. It's trying to become a heart in the brain. There are so many people wanting to function outside of what the Most High has called them to. I don't want to be that. Somebody got to be the feet. I don't want to be a foot. I want to be a mouth. But that's not what the Most High called you to. But that's what we want to be. I don't want to be help. I want to be in charge. We don't want to do the function that we were assigned to. So if we weren't assigned to the office of governance, then we should not be trying to govern. Be in subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of Elohim. Well, we don't even want to recognize that. We more so would rather conform to this world. And the government of Elohim is secondary. You need to flip that. If you want to belong to him and you want to follow him, you have to flip that. You need to conform to the government of Elohim and just be in the world. And if you are in a land that is not your own, that the Most High men are governing, then you obey the laws of the land up until the point that they conflict with the laws of Elohim. But Elohim says, I'm in charge. So if he's in charge and there's no power that is but of him, then he has to come first. And what men have done is made the powers that the Most High has put in charge to supersede him. The powers that be are ordained of Elohim. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of Elohim. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. But understand, the order is the kingdom of heaven and then the kingdom of men. And the examples that we have in the scripture is the people of Elohim obeyed the laws of Elohim first before they obeyed the laws of men. If man comes up with an ordinance or a law that contradicts the laws of Elohim, the people of Elohim followed Elohim first, even unto their death, rather than transgress the laws of Elohim. So I pray we hear this. We have to reverse it. because we're putting the laws of man above the laws of Elohim. We're putting the laws of the land above the laws of the Most High. It cannot be. And then you say you belong to him. No, you belong to whoever you put first. That's who you belong to. That's who you honored. That's who you respected. That's who you gave your allegiance to. Have to be willing to stand up for what thus saith Yah Elohim when it comes to the laws of men. Now, see, men will take that as a direct, if you do that, men will take that as a direct challenge to their authority. You just quote scripture and you just tell them, I follow the Most High first. That'll let you know really where they're coming from because they would understand that. Especially if they say that they are, quote unquote, a Christian or a believer. Or maybe they will act like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They don't want to concede their power to the Most High. They're trying to hold on to the power that they have and not realizing that they themselves are in subjection to the Most High. But you have to, you're responsible for you. So make sure you know the laws of the Most High and know how to implement them in your lives with understanding. And it is not to concede to the will of men. Your foundation has to be the law of the Most High. That is your rock. He is our rock. His ways are our foundation. They are solid up under us. So if we resist, and that's even, you know, when he said, really when he's talking here, the resisting the powers, he's really talking about in his body. So it's important that you understand who you are and what you are and what your position is, and that you bring yourself into subjection to the authorities that are in the body of Messiah. Just make sure that you know that they're in the body. And if you have his spirit, then his spirit, the spirit of the Most High, testifies of itself. That's me. That's not me. It testifies of itself. It testifies whether you belong to him or not. Let's continue. For rulers are not a terror to good works. The rulers should not be a terror to good works. That's how you know the difference between the government of Elohim and those that are in the government of Elohim and the government of men. Because the government of men will use works to terrorize you. The cops will hem you up. They They will use their power against you, even when they know that you are not in the wrong. They will use their power to wield power over you, over you, and not to good works. And they know that it's not the good works. It's so that they can terrorize you. That's not the powers that the Most High puts in place. but to evil. For he says, for rulers are not a terror to good works. Rulers are supposed to be a terror to evil. Terrorize evil, not good people. Not terrorize somebody based upon their skin color or their financial standing. Not terrorize somebody because they don't look like them, because they're not in the spirit of the Most High. That's why it says, being subject to the powers. It's talking about really the powers of the church, because the powers of men are subject to take rulership, whether given to them by Elohim or not, and have evil regimes, have evil organizations that run contrary to this. They don't terrorize good works. They are the terror, and they are the evil. I said that wrong. They don't terrorize evil. They terrorize good works for their own gain. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? You're afraid of the powers, the proper powers, if you do evil. But if you are, and I'll just leave it at that, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You have praise of the good powers, those that are a terror to evil. For he that is the minister of Elohim, that's why I said this is about the church and its powers and those individuals that the Most High puts into position. That's why he goes to the minister. For he is the minister of Elohim to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. If we are operating correctly, then the Most High says that there is a governance that holds power, and it even holds the power of your life. If you break the law, and if everything was in place the way it's supposed to be, then if your sentence required death, that's what would be dealt to you. If your sentence required taking your hand, that's what would be dealt to you. That's why you're supposed to fear the power. But the church has yielded to the world. The church has become secular. And it wants to separate church and state. That's a secular organization. The separation of church and state. And when we start looking at Israel, the kingdom of Israel versus the nation of Israel, this is going to become very apparent. The Most High never, ever said that man was in charge of Israel. He allowed men to govern in Israel, but they always had to have a connection to him. They always had to get their instruction from him. They ruled through him. But in the secular world, where you had a separation of church and state, then the state will make a set of laws that can be contrary to the laws of the Most High. And the state will take authority over the church. And this is what the church has submitted itself to. This is what the body of Messiah has submitted itself to. It is not supposed to be that way. It was never intended to be that way. And because we don't understand the priorities that Elohim comes first, and his kingdom comes first, and his laws and statutes and commandments come first, we put the law of the land first. And if the law of the land changes, if the law of the land contradicts the Most High, his laws, than what the church has been teaching. You are not even subject to the laws of Elohim. What they teach you is there is no law. You are not up under any spiritual law. See how ridiculous that sounds? It's ludicrous. But that is what we have done. Okay. So the power, he is the minister of Elohim to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of Elohim, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. When the government is executing wrath upon people, the innocent, those that are not doing anything wrong, then you know, or if the government is not dispensing of the law equally, you know that is not of Elohim. That is of man. And so you have to put yourself, have to know the laws of Elohim, to know when the world is trying to deal with you, trying to deal you evil, saying that it's good. When the government do evil, and even if it's not against you, but you see that it's evil, against any other citizen of the kingdom, you're not supposed to stand by and say, oh, well. Because they are attacking a kingdom of your government. They're attacking a citizen of your government. They're attacking, your fellow brother or sister in Messiah. Now, if they have done evil, then they deserve what they get. But because we don't govern ourselves by the laws of the Most High, we make ourselves subject to the laws of the world. And we contradict and we do that which the scriptures tell us not to do. Be not conformed to this world. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Don't be, it says you need to be conformed to do good and to the powers to be, because they have the authority to take out the wrath of Elohim on you if you do evil. And because I don't want to get too far off of this, but because we are not putting ourselves in subjection to the laws of the Most High, and we're not governing ourselves by the laws of the Most High, and we won't bring ourselves up under the authority of the church, will not set itself up the proper way as a government, as part of the body of Messiah, and with each individual fulfilling their proper role. And because we feel like, well, hey, if we don't agree, we just leave and go someplace else. We'll get with somebody who agrees with what we think, what we say. That is where we are at. No loyalty. Wherever we feel like we're most comfortable. But the bottom line is we have to ask the Most High, what is your will? What am I in the body and what is my function and provide that function and do it lawfully and bring yourself into subjection to the powers that the Most High has put in place within his body. That's why he says, don't take your issues to the world. If you, brother, have an op with your brother, don't take it to the world. We ought to be able to judge those things amongst ourselves according to his law, according to his statutes, according to his judgment, according to his ordinances, not the ways of the world. Be not conformed to the world. The powers to be, those people that the Most High has placed into positions of power or governance, he put them there. He's not talking about the world, though. He's talking about within his kingdom, within his body. And we want to equate this, and the world uses it against the body to bring the body into subjection to the world. But he's not talking about the world. That's why he says, be you in the world, but not of the world, and do not conform to the world. Be you in subjection to the powers to be in the body of Messiah, in the kingdom of Elohim. That's what he's talking about here. He says, you're supposed to be in subjection not only for, because of wrath, not only for wrath, but for conscience sake. That you have a good conscience toward the Most High. That you have a good conscience toward your own life. Because you are in subjection to the body of Messiah. You're in subjection to Messiah. And the authority that he has put in place. Verse 6, for this is the cause, for this cause pay you tribute also. For they are Elohim's ministers, attending continually upon everything. See, we don't have a problem paying taxes, and we don't have a problem with our employer taking out 10%. And we read these verses and we interpret those verses that way because we have been trained to interpret it that way. But he's really talking about his body. You got people that don't want to pay tithes. It's not for us today. We don't live on farms and we don't raise animals. But a tribute is a tax. And if you don't pay it, which the Most High don't want to do it like that, he says, hey, give. 10% is his. It's holy unto him, the offering. But if man comes and says, I want 10, 13, 15% of your money, just take it. Take it before you ever even get it. And because we are conformed to the world, we conform. But the Most High says, no, you are supposed to be in my kingdom. You are supposed to be in subjection to the powers in my kingdom and the government of my kingdom. But we don't want to do that. Verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. For he that loves one another fulfills the law if they truly do what he says. I look out for your well-being, you look out for mine. Your well-being before my own and my well-being before your own. That's what the scripture says. Then we won't have to worry about one another trying to take advantage of each other. If my motivation is to see to your well-being before my own, and yours is to see to mine before my own, you will prefer me before you, and I will prefer you before me. We will never be trying to take advantage of each other if we're both coming that way. And we will fulfill the law. We won't be trying to cheat each other. We won't be trying to get over on each other. We won't be trying to kill and murder each other. Verse 9. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill or murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the same, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, within the laws of the Most High, treat people how you want to be treated. That's why he don't list everything. He says, but they can be briefly comprehended. They can be summarized. They're not individually spelled out. They are in the law, in the Torah. But right here, I'm going to summarize them and say, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you place all of those laws within that, that's what they are intended to do. Empathize. Place yourself in your neighbor's shoes, in their situation. If you were in their situation, how would you want them to treat you? That's what it's saying. Love works no ill to his neighbor. No, nothing evil. If you truly love and you truly love your neighbor, then you won't, your work won't be to take advantage of them or to hurt them. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than what we believe. So he's going through and he's saying, you want to follow me, then this is how I want you to behave. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. Prefer your neighbor, your brother or your sister in Messiah over yourself. Do not use the standards of the world for anything. Use the standards of the Most High for everything. Because if we mix the world with the Most High, it is confusion. It is double-mindedness. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, just sleeping around for the sake of sleeping around, lusting for the sake of lusting, not in strife and envy, not struggling one another and envying one another. But put you on Yeshua HaMashiach, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So if we're following him, he gives us the laws, the statutes, the commandments for everything. And because we don't bring them into the New Testament, and we want to make up our own, and we get those standards from the world. From the world. He says, be not conformed to this world. Don't make the way that you think, the way that you operate, the way that the world operates. Do it the way that the Most High says to do it. Do it as it is written. Because then we can't be coming from our own mind. Let's keep going. Romans chapter 14, and I'm not going to cover all of Romans chapter 14. But him that is weak in the faith receives. Everybody's not going to have the same strength. He says receive, but not to doubtful. Dispute, not to vain arguments, not to things that are established in the Most High, but they want to argue about them. Doubtful disputations. So he gives as an example, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. That's what they believe. The problem in this is, what does the Most High say? What does he say about these things? What has he previously taught? If he said, for salvation, you got to give up the worship of other gods, and you can't run around fornicating, having sex outside of marriage, and you can't eat things that are strangled, and you can't consume blood, and that's for salvation. So see, that people don't ever get taught that. They're just told to say the sinner's prayer and confess that they're sinners. But he says, no. Start off with, don't pollute yourself with idols. Don't be running around fornicating. Don't be eating things that are strangled. And don't be consuming blood. Those were requirements for salvation. The starting point. When the word of Yah first went out to the Gentile nations, that was their starting point. These acceptable things. Start here. And then you'll be taught the law of Moses. Because they were teaching the law of Moses every Sabbath in the synagogue. Let's start here. Stop doing these things and you can be saved. That was the necessary. Go to Acts chapter 15. different for Israel, because Israel was never supposed to be practicing these things. Understand it. So we're not going to read all of this, but we're going to read enough that you can get the gist of what is being said. Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren. The brethren are those who have accepted Messiah, okay, as their Savior, and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So this question is about salvation. And we got some brethren, we got some disciples telling people who are coming in, you got to be circumcised to be saved. Verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension, no small disagreement and disputation or dispute with them, Paul and Barnabas said, they ain't got to do that. These certain men are saying, yeah, they do. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about the question. What is the question? Do they have to be circumcised after the manner of Moses? For what purpose? To be saved. Okay? And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. And they declared all things that Elohim had done with them. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed. These were Pharisees that had been converted, saying that it was needful, necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, this question about the law of Moses is concerning circumcision, to be saved. They are not going to be in compliance with all the law of Moses if they never had the law of Moses. And so they're trying to put, these Pharisees are trying to put all this on these people who had never heard the law. Wasn't living among Israel. See, these laws were put in place when the stranger, when the Gentile wanted to live amongst Israel, and they wanted to come close to the Most High. They wanted to keep his Passover. They wanted to participate in the feast days. Then the Most High had Moses to put in a law. If they want to come close to me that way, then they must be circumcised. All of their males. That's the law. And these Pharisees aren't wrong with that, but that's about joining Israel. This is not about the kingdom of the Most High and bringing people into the kingdom of the Most High. He said, we're not going to shotgun blast them that way. Boom! Here's all the law. You better be keeping it right now. Because the people in the past who wanted to come close to Israel, they had lived amongst Israel. They had learned of the ways of Israel, and they had chosen to take that path. So the Pharisees are saying they want to, these people are becoming part of Israel. No, they're becoming part of the greater kingdom of the Most High. They're going to be joining Israel eventually, but you can't expect them to know all the laws of the land. And they haven't been exposed to them. So let's read this. And the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. The apostles and the elders. One person doesn't just make this decision. And when there had been much disputing, you know, they're arguing back and forth, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago Elohim made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And Elohim, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt you, Elohim, to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples? He's talking about those Gentiles that are hearing the gospel and believing, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. I'm not going to go into the history of it, but the bottom line is the law required that you bring a child back to Jerusalem to be circumcised on the eighth day. And what if you couldn't make it back by the eighth day? What if you were in Rome? Because we were all over the Mediterranean, our forefathers, as attested to on the day of Pentecost, from all these different nations. That would mean that everybody, every family that was having a child, had to make sure that when that child was born, was within the travel of Jerusalem. He says, we weren't able to do it. We weren't able to bear it. But we believe that through the grace of Yah, of Yeshua HaMashiach, we shall be saved even as they. We couldn't bear it, and we got the Holy Ghost. Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and to Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders Elohim had done among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered and saying, men and brethren, hearken or listen unto me. Simon has declared how Elohim at the first did visit the Gentiles, take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophet, as it is written. And this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after Yah, the remainder of men, not just Israel, but the remainder of men might seek after Yah, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, that Yah who does all these things, saith Yah who does all these things. Known unto Elohim are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence, now this is Messiah's brother, James, his stepbrother, born from Mary. He has taken over the church at Jerusalem. He says, it is my sentence that we trouble not them which are from among the Gentiles, are turned to Elohim, that we not trouble them with what? But that we write unto them that they may abstain from the pollution of idols, worshiping other gods, celebrating their holidays, doing those things that cause them to go after these other gods, and from sex outside of marriage, fornication, and from things strangled. Now remember, the question is to be saved. And from blood. We know the law said we're not to drink blood. We're not to consume blood. We know the law says we're not to eat animals that have been strangled. We know the law says that we're not to have sex outside of marriage. We know the law says that we should only have one Elohim. So these are the laws. They're saying, hey, we're not going to put circumcision on them, which we ourselves could not bear. We couldn't keep it to be saved. But they got to do these things, start with these things, to be saved. Abstain from worshiping other gods, the pollution of idols. Abstain from sex outside of marriage. Abstain from things strangled, and abstain from eating blood. Why? For Moses of old time has in every city them that preach him. They're not preaching Moses. They're preaching the laws that the Most High gave Moses, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. Preaching the laws of Torah. So if y'all stop doing these things, then you will learn the rest of the law over time as it is covered in the sanctuary or in the synagogues on the Sabbath day. Excuse me. Because it is automatically assumed that you're going to start keeping the Sabbath. And you're going to come to the teachings that are being done on the Sabbath. See, Sunday school wasn't a thing. And Sunday service was not a thing at this time. That's an invention later. If you wanted, it would be Sabbath school. Taught on the Sabbath. You would go out and do the work of the kingdom, preaching the gospel, inviting men into the kingdom on the day of the week, and the second, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth. Because you were allowed to go out and work on those days. But you weren't allowed to work, do that type of work on the Sabbath except for to teach the law and to worship the Most High. So it was automatically said, okay, no, you ain't got to be circumcised. You be saved. You do these four necessary things and you will learn the law of Moses on the Sabbath in the synagogue where it's taught every Sabbath day. Not that you ain't up under the law. Not that the law don't apply to you. You will learn about the ways of the Most High from the teachers of the Most High on the Sabbath day. But to be saved and enter into the kingdom, do these necessary things. Then pleased it the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto you, brethren, which are of the Gentiles, in Antioch and Syria and Sicilia. He didn't say to them that are the Gentiles. He didn't say to them that are the Jews. Because any Jew under this time should have known the law of Moses. Should have not been worshiping idols. It should not have been a thing. Now, as you get further and further in time and further out into the world, then you're going to run across some of your brethren that living like the Gentiles. They have not been exposed to the law of the Most High. They are living according to the world. Then you tell them the same thing. You need to stop worshiping these idols. You need to stop having sex outside of marriage. You need to stop eating things that are strangled. And you need to stop eating blood. That's what's required. And you need to start to learn about the laws of Moses. because those laws are still in effect. The apostles and elders and brethren, send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you. These Pharisees went out from us. We didn't send them, but they went out from us. They troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. This is the law concerning circumcision. The other law, you're going to learn during the Sabbath lessons. It's been good unto us being assembled with one accord to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Master Yeshua HaMashiach. We sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you this by mouth. So we sent some letters, and here are some people to say it by mouth to confirm what was in the letters. Two sources. Now, for me, this is what did it, the next verse. For it seemed good to the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost. That's the Most High. And to us, to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Got to do these things. That you abstain from meat offered to idols and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourself, you shall do well. Fare you well. So this is what has to be taught to people concerning coming into the kingdom. They're still going to have to learn the laws of the Most High. But are they to be keeping all of the laws of the Most High before they can be saved? No. They don't even know what they are. And everything that they are doing in ignorance. Once they learn, then they are no longer in ignorance and they are required to do it. But to enter into the kingdom? No. Not even to be circumcised. And so we got to understand, what does the Most High say on these things? They come in eating everything. Spiders and bats and pork and everything that the Most High says is unclean. He says, but as they learn to come close to me, as they learn on Sabbath lessons, in the synagogue, during the Sabbath, the law of Moses. These are the laws of the kingdom. See, the laws of Moses are the laws of the Most High. He gave them to Israel. But people want to make them the laws of Israel. But they are the laws of Elohim. And they are the laws of his kingdom. He first gave them to Israel. So if they're the laws of his kingdom, if you enter into his kingdom, then these are the laws that you must keep. But you got to learn about them. He don't expect you to come in knowing all the laws. statutes and commandments of the kingdom. But we are to tell people, hey, you got to stop eating stuff offered to idols. You got to stop worshiping other gods. That's where that stuff eating stuff dedicated to idols. Stop fornicating. Stop eating food that is strangled. And stop consuming blood. That's before they can be saved. Hear what the word of Yah is saying. Don't have to be circumcised, but you got to stop these things. And you got to commit to stopping them before you come to the Most High to be saved. That's what we have to be telling people. Now, even our own Hebrew brothers and sisters today, because they have moved and been apart from the Most High so long and don't know his ways, even just finding out that they're a Hebrew Israelite is a shock to the system. And for all practical purposes, they are to be treated like a Gentile. Oh, yeah, you Israel, but you ignorant. You don't know the law, statutes, and commandments of the Most High. You don't know what he requires. You can still enter into salvation through Messiah, but you have to stop these things. And then you have to start learning his ways. Learn of him. This is the same commandment to the Gentiles. But the Gentiles don't want to learn of him. Nah, he said, we ain't subject to those laws. Yes, you are. He told you that you have Moses being taught in the synagogues every Sabbath. So you are misunderstanding those scriptures when it says you are not up under the law. When Messiah washed away all your sins, you were sinless. You were not up under the law. But at that very point, you had not transgressed. But the minute you transgress, you place yourself right back up under the law. They just want to say, oh, we ain't subject to that at all. Yes, you are. You're entering into the kingdom of the Most High, and these are not the laws of Israel. They are the laws of the Most High for his kingdom. And if you are coming into his kingdom, these are his laws. You will honor and obey the Sabbath and keep it holy. You will not worship any other Elohim. You will not make an image of any other Elohim and bow down to it. You will not say that you belong to the Most High and dishonor belonging to him by disobeying him. You will not enter into a relationship and take his name like in a marriage and dishonor the marriage. You will honor his Sabbath day and keep it holy. Yeah, got to do all those things and then all his other laws as well. And his statutes and his commandments. He said, I didn't give you my spirit for you to do your own thing. It's not why he gave the Ruach HaKodesh. He said, I'm pouring out my spirit on all flesh and writing my laws within your heart that you will do them. I'm giving you my spirit that you will do my judgment. People say they got the Holy Spirit to be healing people and be doing all this stuff. That's secondary. Because if you're doing all that stuff and you healing people and you are disobeying him, he's saying, you're going to come to me and say, didn't we do these things in your name? Didn't we feed the hungry? Didn't we heal the sick? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And I'm going to say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, you lawless person. You didn't keep my commandments. I don't know you. I hope this makes sense to somebody. I don't know you. You use my name. You abuse my salvation. You spit on the work that I did and claim that you knew me, but I never knew you. Because you never obeyed my commandments. You worked iniquity. You worked unrighteousness. You did what you wanted to do. I pray to help someone. Because he says, get away from me. I never knew you. If you loved me, you would have kept my commandments. So how do you say you love me and do not as I said to do? You don't love me. You just say you love me. You worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. All these scriptures should make sense to you after today. So the Gentiles have to be taught how to follow him, and they have to be taught how to enter in. And Israel has to be taught how to follow him and how to enter in, because we have been so far away from him and so far from keeping his statutes, his laws, his commandments, and his judgments, that we have the mindset of the world, the mindset of a Gentile. But back in these days, they should not have had. They should have been closer to the word of the Most High than we are today. And so it should have been easier for them to follow Messiah. And so they accused Paul. Paul had been running around here telling the Jews not to keep the law. Paul was not doing that. But that's what they accused him of. Paul said, I ain't been doing that. The same requirement to enter in, the Most High is not unjust and he is not unrighteous. And he's not going to hold you responsible for something that you cannot possibly know, that you are doing out of ignorance or out of error. Now, when that Gentile learns of my ways and he wants to come close and he wants to enter into my temple, then he's got to complete the law of Moses. Not circumcised? You got to get circumcised. You want to come into the temple? That's the law. So we have conflated these things, we have confused these things, and we have gone against the word of the Most High. Gone against it. So I pray that something has been said to edify you on this today in following Messiah. Don't conform to this world. Be in the world, but not of the world. You want to come into a relationship with the Most High and be a member of his kingdom? He has set it out. He has spelled it out. And he's saying those that are weak in faith, those that are weak in understanding, receive, but not to doubtful disputations, not to doubtful arguments. The Most High did not send everybody to teach. He did not send everybody to govern. He did not send everybody to heal. He did not send everybody to prophesy. The gifts according to as he gave them. Everyone has to find out what is their function in the body, find out what they need to perform that function, and then do it. Ask the Most High, reveal, what is it that you want me to be doing? Equip me to do it. And let me walk in fear of you and in your way. Because there's supposed to be powers to be that if you're not walking in his way, that are supposed to wield the sword. But because we are so fractured and because we are so separated, everybody doing what they think is right. Ask the Most High what's right. Make sure that you enter into his kingdom. And that you've done what's required to enter in. So that you can have a clear conscience. Because I don't know how we can have a clear conscience and we're not doing what he says to do. Enter in. These are the necessary things. After that, you'll be taught the law of Moses. You'll be taught that I no longer want the blood of bulls and goats. Never wanted it for sin. Not that I didn't want the blood of bulls and goats, because the smell of the fat on them and their blood burning on the altar is a sweet smell to Elohim. A sweet smell in his nostrils. And when you can bring a sacrifice like that, he says it's a sweet smell in my nostrils because you're doing it out of peace. You're doing it out of love of me. But when it's for your sin, I never wanted that. That is not a sweet smell in my nostrils. Says, now, make it yourself. Make yourself a living sacrifice, acceptable and holy to me. Offer yourself up. Without blemish. Offer yourself. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints. Follow after Messiah and conform not to this world. But renew your mind through the scriptures of the Most High. Learn of him. Follow him. Put him first and not the world. Don't let the laws of man overrule the laws of Elohim in your heart or in your mind or in your compliance. If the laws of man contradict the laws of Elohim, follow the laws of Elohim, period. And be willing to go to jail for it. Be willing to give your life for it. Those are the examples that we have in the scriptures. Yah bless you and keep you.
You created the world. bridge, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect.
Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath to you all. Peace and blessings. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll send out a message if we're going to meet on tonight.
Bye. Happy Sabbath.
Peace and blessings to you all.
Love you. Happy Sabbath.